You may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. You may please the court. My name is Kevin Holden. I'm here on behalf of Warehouse Masters Company, trading as Tidewater Overhead Door, which I'll refer to as Tidewater Overhead Door as we go forward. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal, please.
All right.
The issue that's before this court is whether or not the trial court's ruling on the motion to strike, as set forth in the letter opinion, wherein the court held that Tidewater Overhead Door can only establish lost profit damages by establishing a net profit instead of a gross profit, was erroneous as a matter of law. That letter court ruling was also based on a misunderstanding of the record, in that in order to get to that letter ruling, the court said that there's been no evidence whatsoever of whether or not the overhead damages could be recouped through other means, when in fact the evidence was from Mr. Ball, the owner of Tidewater Overhead Door, that the only other expenses that we haven't talked about are those that we have to pay anyway. Accordingly, that he did address that issue.
Well, paying it anyway doesn't answer whether after you've paid it, it's been recouped through other revenue streams.
I'm sorry, I understand.
When Ball said, well, yeah, those are overhead expenses, I have to pay it anyway.
Correct.
That doesn't answer the question. The question is, well, right, of course you do. But were they absorbed by other revenue streams of the business?
That's right, but the question then went on to say whether or not you get a specific piece of business.
Well, and no, says, the question is whether or not you get this work, and the this work in context is this the jobs at issue in the case.
Right. So the interpretation of that evidence, assuming that that's even necessary to establish our case, is that here's our damage model. This is the work we were going to get. It would cost us this much money to do the work, and here's how much revenue we would have gotten to get this work. Accordingly, our lost profits is the difference between the two. And then we went on to say, well, are there any other expenses? Sure, we have other expenses, but I have to pay those anyway. Now, to the extent there was any ambiguity on that point.
But if other expenses are paid anyway and they are unabsorbed,
yes,
then they become unsaved costs, unsaved expenses that factor in the lost profits. If they are absorbed, then they don't become unsaved. So the question on the table, according to the trial court, is, well, what evidence did the plaintiff make, who had the burden of proof on lost profits, of showing the absorption or the unabsorption of the indirect costs attributable to overhead?
Well, that's, of course, assuming that that's even relevant to the issue of lost
profits. Well, fair enough, but assume for the purpose of my question,
sure,
that understandably, that's the minority view. But the Worrell versus Williams case, 1905.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember that case?
I do.
Tell me why that doesn't establish that Virginia requires some showing of some kind by the party with the burden of proof on the absorption or non-absorption of indirect overhead costs in a lost profits claim.
Because in that particular case, the issue was whether or not you had to include the cost of transporting that timber into the profit. And I believe the evidence was, did you account for the transportation of that timber? And then the court went on to discuss that whether or not you have to take this reduction or don't take this reduction, and whether or not those overhead expenses, in particular the expenses that were attributable to that particular project. Here, there was no evidence whatsoever that any of the overhead damages, any of the overhead was directly attributable to this contract.
I think we're talking about a different case.
Okay.
The case I'm thinking of is 1905, Virginia Supreme Court, Worrell and Williams versus Kinnear. I didn't see it cited in your brief, but but don't worry about it. We press on with your argument if you haven't thought about it.
I think, though, that in order to even get to the issue of whether or not there was sufficient evidence as to whether or not the overhead was absorbed or not absorbed, you first have to get past the idea that the court applied the wrong law. And that is, the issue of absorbed or unabsorbed only applies when you're seeking overhead as damages. And here, there was no question that we were never seeking overhead as damages. We couldn't have made that more clear, and that's what we argued. In fact, the jury was even instructed. There's no specific evidence of overhead, but they're not seeking overhead. so don't award any overhead damages. As a result, the jury was instructed, you don't have to worry about the overhead. Here, the jury was also instructed that don't speculate as to the damages, and you can award lost profits if they're shown by a reasonable certainty. And here, according to the law, according to the court's rulings in preferred systems, commercial systems, and Mario versus Banks, the appropriate measure for lost profits is, well, a proper model is gross profits, and that is how much money would you have received less how much would it cost you to perform. Now, we're aware of those cases, and we relied on those cases when we put on our evidence.
As a matter of fact, may I interrupt you again? But neither of the cases address indirect costs, which would be typically generalized as overhead. And there are lots of cases in the United States. There are ALRs that have chopped the whole forest down on this exact point. Neither Banks nor Lockheed have anything to do with it. The question we're debating now, which is, do you include indirect costs or overhead as a element to be proven absorbed or unabsorbed in a flat-out lost profits case, not a case seeking delayed damages overhead, which your point's well taken.
And I think that, in fact, the right rule, I think that the cases do talk about and have examples where gross profits are an appropriate model where this court has said that that's fine. But putting aside what the law is, let's ask ourselves what the law should be. And that is, in the same way that the court in Lockheed held that the new business rule will not preclude a company that has new business from getting damages when they've been harmed merely because it's a new business, the same thing would apply in a company that's running at a loss. If, for example, Tidewater Overhead Door had a large expense item, such as a wrongful death case that they owed $10 million on, their overall profit at the end of the year, the overall amount that they received, they'd be running at a loss. They would have more overhead than profit. In that case, a company, a third party, your defendant, would be free to harm them, knowing that they could never have to pay damages, because if you had to incorporate the overhead, the other expenses, they always run at a loss, and therefore they're free to harm them. And the court held in Lockheed that can't be the rule. That the rule of Virginia is that there has to be a proper method of determining damages. A proper method. Not one, but a proper method of determining what is the damages that flowed from this injury. And here, the court has said numerous times, and it makes sense, that the damages are, quite frankly, the harm that they caused. And in this case, the harm that was caused is that we didn't get the specific profits on these particular contracts. And here, we put on the evidence of what it was.
May I interrupt you one more time? I promised my last time.
Sure.
Profits are gross revenue less expenses saved. That's what a profit is, right? So
correct.
You got gross revenue, the contract amount. You got five guys working on the job, and you got five tons of equipment. You
right.
Reduce that, that's your direct cost. But suppose you have five guys at the office doing nothing but the paperwork and the hassle with that one project. But you don't need them because you don't do the project. That's exactly the same thing as the five guys on the job site swinging an axe. So now the question is, in damages law, well, does that overhead component, which would otherwise be burned on this one task, get absorbed by other tasks, that is, revenue tasks?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what Worrell versus Williams says is a relevant and necessary component of a lost damages claim. Now, given it's the only Virginia Supreme Court case I could find on point, it does require us to examine it carefully. But the new business rule has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
What I'm trying to make is an analogy on the new business rule. The court held, and first it held, and it acknowledged in Lockheed case, that while ordinarily the new business rule would preclude a business from getting lost profit damages if they can't show a consistency of profits going forward, but using the wrongdoer rule, when someone has harmed that company, the mere fact that it's a new business will not preclude your ability to get damages. The same thing would apply here. The mere fact that there's overhead. Doesn't that the mere fact that the company is running at a loss doesn't mean that you still can't get recovery? It would, a rule to the contrary would protect a wrongdoer. A rule to the contrary would protect any company that creates a harm, saying, well, they run at a loss, so I don't have to worry about the harm that befalls. So I'm just making an analogy that the new business rule, the same idea of the wrongdoer principle, would apply in this instance here. But even still, this court has held time and time again that the proper measure of damages is gross profit. And that's what the restatements say, that's what Mario says, and that's what all of these cases have held, and that's certainly an appropriate measure of damages. I would go on to say, Your Honor, that in this case, Tidewater Overhead Door produced evidence of and requested damages in the amount of $283,000. The jury came back with $243,000. Obviously, the jury reviewed this issue. The jury reviewed all of the evidence and came back with a verdict that was approximately $40,000 left. Tidewater Overhead Door is entitled to the presumption that the jury awarded damages based on the evidence presented, the arguments of counsel, and accord with jury instructions. There is no evidence whatsoever that Mr. Ball's damage model incorporated overhead. None. There was no evidence about that whatsoever. The VIT would argue that, well, of course they did, but that's simply not in the record. Mr. Ball, on behalf of Tidewater Door, testified quite plainly and simply and said, here's the amount of money we would have had, and here's how much it would have cost me to get that profit, or here's what I would have saved by not performing. But
logically, if you don't back out overhead, you necessarily are including overhead in the measurement of the deduction off of gross revenues.
That's not an argument that was made to the jury, and I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that in order to determine how much money we would receive, we don't have to consider the overhead. And I would also point out that there has to be some tie, that the overhead at issue was somehow acquired and tied to the specific contract at issue. If it wasn't tied to the contract issue, it's simply not relevant to the case. So in this case, the trial court, in moving to strike, applied the wrong law. The law that they looked to was Lockheed, which was a case where it talked about when you seek overhead damages, you have to prove those overhead damages and how those overhead damages are tied to this case. That's not this case here. As a matter of fact, if you look at the record in Lockheed, we see that at the trial court level, at least in the second time around, there was a motion to strike granted, which was reversed by this court, the jury awarded lost profit damages, and that wasn't even contested on appeal. The issue was, in addition to the lost profit damages, can you also get the overhead damages? Because, and the court said no, you can't, respectfully, because the overhead damages were merely averaged or allocated throughout the entire company, and that was not an appropriate measure. And what we see time and time again is that you can't get lost profit damages plus overhead damages. You usually get one or the other. It's just too hard to prove the existence of both. Unless there has any other questions, I rely upon the statements in the brief that I would have made, and I would suggest that this case is really contingent on whether or not the letter opinion was correct. I think the jury was entitled to interpret the evidence put on by Mr. Ball that, in fact, the overhead or any additional expenses we incur one way or another, which is another way of saying that can't be recouped. VIT had the opportunity to cross-examine that at the point, but chose not to. I would submit that the letter opinion is incorrect as a matter of law, and this court should remand the case back to the entry of the jury.
You have 41 seconds remaining.
May it please the court, Your Honors. My name is Marisa Henderson, counsel for Virginia International Terminals. Your Honors, we've been talking about damages, and that's exactly what this case is about. The proper measure of damages in a business injury tort case. Now, Justice Kelsey mentioned that the proper measure of damages is simply your gross revenue less your direct costs saved, and that is directly from the restatement of contracts, Your Honor. What we believe is the applicable law is what this court said in Lockheed in 2000, which is when a party in a business injury tort case is attempting to recover its lost profits, and those lost profits, there is an element of overhead in these indirect costs of a business that are going to be allocated from those revenues of the lost business, that an additional showing has to be made. And the additional showing, first of all, is you have to make some showing of what the amount of these overhead costs
are. Let me ask you a question. But wouldn't that always increase the amount of damages as opposed to reduce it?
Wouldn't the law application of Lockheed increase the amount of damages?
Correct, as opposed to reducing it.
It could, Your Honor.
But wouldn't it always increase the amount of damages as opposed to reducing it?
It would not, based on the element of recoupment, on whether or not that party could show. If the party, for example, has some evidence of recoupment, whether it could recoup its overhead costs through other work, then that question would answer whether or not he could recover these overhead damages. So if he was fully occupied and was doing all the work that it could in the relevant period, then it could not recover those costs that were allocated
Correct.
For overhead.
Correct, which would be in addition to the damages. My question is, would it ever reduce the damages they were entitled to, not being able to show overhead?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I hope that I'm following you. But it's an additional showing, an additional inquiry that must be made. So, for example, you look at the total loss, the total gross revenue that the plaintiff would argue he'd make from the work. You subtract out certain appropriate things, so you subtract out the direct costs. That's not at issue. What is at issue is whether the costs of overhead, the indirect costs of doing business, the rents, the leases, the other administrative costs should also be subtracted out from the gross to arrive at a quote-unquote lost profits number. So again, what we're talking about is what is recoverable under the law.
Do you have any cases in which overhead was subtracted from the gross amount received in revenue to come up with a damage figure?
Your Honor,
because there are plenty of cases where it's added, but not where it's
there are plenty of cases. Actually, Your Honor, we submit there are plenty of cases where it's simply just not discussed. I mean, you simply
right.
go through this
rote
form.
It's irrelevant.
But, Your Honor, we submit that the cases that are relied on for that principle by TUD don't actually address whether it's relevant or not. There are other issues that are involved in those cases, and therefore overhead is simply not addressed. When this court chose to and had to separately address the issue of overhead as a measure of damages in a business injury case, as a measure of lost profits damage, this court said, wait a second, that's a different type of damages, or it's a different factor element of your lost profits, and it requires a special showing. And that's all that we are asking, that VIT is asking this court to enforce, is its jurisprudence in Lockheed. Now, Lockheed, I understand your difficulty, because Lockheed, the plaintiff was not asking for its gross profits and then had a separate allocation for its overhead. In the Lockheed case, that party actually said, well, this is a separate element of my lost profits, and it put an accountant on and it said, these are our overhead costs that we would allocate to this contract that we lost over the period of time of that contract. And it was able to, it gave a lot of accounting information to arrive at this number. So at that point, the court had to say, is this recoverable as a measure of lost profits? And we are arguing that, Your Honor, we are talking about exactly the same thing here in the VIT.
Can I jump in on that? Because there's just a factual, evidently, dispute where he says, we didn't ask for it. Mr. Ball expressly disclaimed any such attempt. And obviously, you disagree. So what's on what basis do you disagree?
Your Honor, I believe this is a case of willful blindness. Mr. Ball clearly testified. Let's look at the substance of what he testified to. He clearly testified, these are my gross lost profits. I take my revenue, I subtract my direct costs, my material and my labor, and then I get at my gross profits. And jury, that's what I want from you. I want 70%. But, Your Honor, Mr. Ball also clearly stated, but I don't put 70 cents of every dollar that I make into my pocket. Oh, no. I think he laughed. He said, Not merely do I put 70 cents for every dollar in my pocket, there are other expenses. And he actually used the words office expenses. And
but the question is whether those other expenses are saved costs. I think part of the problem we're having in this case, at least I'm having with both sides, is overhead as a discrete claim of damages, as Justice Goodwin's pointing out, is a delay damage or interference with contract claim. It is not a lost profits claim. And you clearly do have to show, no doubt, in every jurisdiction, exactly the amount of the overhead, how much delay was caused, how much delay caused how much overhead, how many guys at the office had to be there because of this delay in the contract by the other side breaching. This case has not anything to do with that, and that's what the jury instruction says. We're not talking about a claim for overhead. We're talking about a claim for profits. Now the question is, what is a claim for profits? And you're quite right. Lockheed mentions it. It says, look, whether or not you're making a claim for profits, Lockheed, or whether or not you're making a claim for affirmative recovery of discrete overhead damages, you still have to show what's absorbed and what's not absorbed. Now, the problem with that position is, in Lockhart, it wasn't the holding. No one's mentioned the Williams case that I've mentioned, but it seems to be the holding of Williams. That is the minority view. The huge majority of the other states say you don't have to do that. The burden of proof is not on the plaintiff to show the absorption or non-absorption. So, do you see the distinction?
I do see this. I believe I see the distinction, Your Honor. And I will say that neither side has briefed the Williams case, and we certainly will be familiar with it after this argument. But back to some of the issues that you're raising. I believe that this may indeed be the first time that this court has clearly looked at the issue in a tort case. If lost profits, if it includes a measurable overhead, if it has to be, if their recruitment has to be shown. But, Your Honor, I believe that the weight of authority in other jurisdictions that you're talking about tend to be contract cases in which the proper measure of lost profits damages is an agreed price. Your agreed price is going to include, unless you're out to lose money, is going to include some element of overhead. But there is no, this is not a lost contract. This is not a breach of contract case. So when you're looking at a tort case in which there's lost business, lost work that a business says it's lost, we believe that you have to look at what this court's, what you said in Lockheed, and when overhead is an element of those lost profit damages, not in a breach of contract case, because in a breach of contract case, you would be entitled, we believe, Your Honor, to that overhead that's built into the agreed price. But when you are looking at specifically at a tort case, this court, we believe, said in 2000 that it's a special type of damages, and in order to remedy the wrong, that party can get its overhead that it would have acquired or that it would have obtained from this work that it lost.
Lockheed was a tort case.
Exactly, Your Honor, and that's why we believe it's on all fours with this case. It was a tort case. The plaintiff just chose a different method of presenting its damages, and it set out separately its lost overhead.
Right, I mean, it was just carved out with specific testimony as opposed to sort of baked in to the general demand.
Exactly, Your Honor, and it is baked into the general demand here. That is exactly what VIT is saying, and that is why the court has to take a look at it. The jury clearly...
What about a remand? We clarify the law and send it back.
What's that?
What about a remand, since... Lockheed was a little different, and
we believe that Lockheed applies on all fours, and that a remand is not necessary because if the court applies Lockheed, then it is clear that there was no evidence from which the jury could figure out what its lost profits were, what TOT's lost profits were, and we don't believe that TOT would get another bite at the apple. Your Honor, let us be clear: the reason the jury did not hear any evidence of what TOD's overhead costs were is because it chose not to. It made a deliberate and strategic attempt throughout the litigation to keep out any evidence or any of its actual expenses, its overhead expenses. And it was a gamble, Your Honor, and we believe that because the Lockheed precedent was out there and it was discussed and litigated in motions to compel before trial, TOD was aware of it, of that precedent. And it nonetheless chose to present its damages to the jury in a way that force the jury to speculate as to what the overhead damages were. Quite simply, Your Honor, the jury heard nothing about what TOD would have actually taken home at the end of the day. Not the 70 cents on every dollar, but some other amount that the jury simply had to guess
at. Right, and counsel, based on the calculation that you gave to Justice Goodwin, I'm not sure I understand your answer to Justice Goodwin, because okay. It sounds like what you're arguing, and my understanding of how this would work, is that including overhead costs in the calculation would reduce the 70% number, always.
Then I must have...
And that's just the opposite of the conclusion you gave him, but you're...
I must have been mistaken, Your Honor. Yes,
so it would. So you're saying it always would?
Unless the party could show that they were idle during that time,
right,
relevant
okay.
time period, and then they would right. be entitled okay. to their overhead costs. And all that we are asking is that the court apply the Lockheed precedent and just require and require the party showing lost profits, if overhead is a part of that, to simply make an additional showing is I should get my overhead, Your Honor, trial judge or jury, because I was not able to recoup that overhead through other work. The jury heard nothing of that, Your Honor, because TOD simply wanted the jury to hear the 70% figure. Your Honor, we ask that that we take a look at the trial court's opinion. It was reasoned, and I want to just clarify a few things that TOD said. He said that it was based on a misunderstanding of the record. Your Honor, the record is absolutely clear on this issue. Overhead was clearly built into the margin of lost profits that TOD was trying to recover. There was no misunderstanding. There's no conflict of the evidence. Indeed, this came in on direct and not even on cross-examination. And, Your Honor, I think this was already addressed, the issue of recruitment. We simply have no idea. There's no evidence as to what TOD was doing during the relevant periods, what other work it was doing, and whether or not it could recoup these overhead costs. And, Your Honor, let's see. Oh, TOD also mentioned that the jury issued a verdict of $243,000. That's simply not correct. The jury issued a verdict on three counts, identical compensatory damages verdict of $81,090, and identical punitive damages on the counts. So, Your Honor, that number is actually incorrect. And
can you throw out the punitives as well?
Your Honor, we have briefed that issue, and we believe, and we stand on that, the authorities in the brief raised that, that there was not sufficient malice that was discussed, that was presented to the jury that actually related to the time period in which the work was allegedly being diverted from TOD. Your Honor, again, to be clear, we believe this is a case of willful blindness, if you will, in the case of TOD. They did use a method that has been discussed in other cases of establishing their lost profits through sort of a track record of these are what their gross revenues were. But in the cases that discuss that and that TOD relies on, nowhere, if you look at those cases, can you tell if overhead was deducted from that gross profits from the evidence or was not. It simply wasn't at issue. And, Your Honor, we are raising the issue because we do not believe, based on this court's precedent, that TOD is entitled to recover these full amount of its lost profits without deducting for overhead. And for that reason, the jury, which had to make a finding for compensatory damages of TOD's lost profits, the jury had to come up with some number. And that number, Your Honor, is simply, as a matter of law, there is not evidence that is sufficient to support the jury's verdict of compensatory damages. And as this court noted, we do have assignments of cross error, but we do not believe they're necessarily relevant. We ask the court to affirm what this trial court did in Norfolk, which was to simply apply these court's precedents to the undisputed evidence that came in to the jury and to find that BIT and to affirm the case and enter judgment in favor of BIT.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Holden. You have 41 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I may add, I believe Your Honor is referring to Worrell and Williams versus Canary Manufacturing. In that case, the issue was what were the fixed costs, and the fixed costs were defined as the aggregate cost of the material and labor.
No, the fixed costs, I'll read it to you. By the term fixed costs is meant, quote, the general running expenses which attach to every business. And it is true as contended that such fixed costs do compose an essential element of cost.
It's and in that case, those fixed costs they were talking about were the material and labor used in transporting the materials, I believe. And and in this case, I believe that the issue was either take the court said, either take the damages that we have or we're going to order a new trial. So at the very most, I think this case would stand for the proposition that to the extent there's some disagreement as to fixed cost or not fixed cost, the result should be pulled back.
How do you handle the quote in Lockhart, which is whether lost overhead is sought as damages or as a component of lost profits, the plaintiff is required to show the burden of proof on the plaintiff. The plaintiff is required to show that it was reasonably unable to recoup its overhead costs.
I believe in that particular passage, they're specifically referring to the element of a lost, of overhead as a damage. And Lockheed specifically was talking about when you're seeking overhead as damages, whether you call it lost profit or overhead damages, you have to put on that overhead. And I want to point out that it's important to look at Lockheed and the history of Lockheed, and that is, in Lockheed, it was the plaintiff recovered lost profits, and there was no contest about the lost profits. It was the additional overhead damages that they sought that was in dispute on appeal. So, and as a matter of fact, what the court said was you've already got recovery on that count for that claim. It's getting the additional double recovery that you can't do, because in that case they basically took all of the overhead, divided it up, and tried to apply it. I believe here that, in fact, Mr. Ball did testify that here are damages, and he did so in accordance with the way this court has told Virginia how to do it in preferred systems and commercial systems in banks, which, by the way, was a tort case, not a contract case, but a tort case, where they held, here's how you show your damages. You take a look at what you've done in the past, you look at what your profit model is, profit model as defined as what it cost you to do the work versus how much you would have received on the work. Time and time again, that is an appropriate model of damages. If we wanted to seek overhead as a damage, we could have put on evidence of that, but we didn't. Now, and also, I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever that, in fact, we included overhead within our profit model. We produced, in addition to what we saw in all of these cases that I've cited in my brief, piles and piles of actual source documents saying, here's how we calculated our cost on this case. Here's how we calculated our hours worked. Here's what we paid our workers. The source documents, it was enormous amount of documents. So you didn't even have to just take Mr. Ball's word on this, but here, look, here's everything we have on how we have figured out what our profit business has. To accept the model that
Justice Kelsey, has he answered your question?
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Your time has expired.
I'm sorry. May I just...
The court will be in recess until 11:15.
All rise.